Our scripture reading this morning is Malachi 3, 1 through 4. I'll give you a minute to turn to that if you wish to. It takes me a while to find Malachi, and it may take you a while too. I don't know. And in the meantime, the toddlers are dismissed, and their caregivers, Cammie and Olivia. Malachi 3, 1 through 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. And now I'll call on Keith to introduce our guest speakers.
Thank you, Beth. Those verses are about proclamation, but in order to proclaim something, you have to be able to understand it. Several years ago, actually my first year here at Beaver Camp, we had three students from England come and serve. They had that delightful English accent. One of them, it was very strong, Becky Moore, as she is now, it was Becky Ripley at the time. Sometimes, if I could watch her, I could understand her, but when she'd call me on the phone, I had difficulty understanding her. I felt bad about that. I mentioned that to Ben Doolin, who was also an English student. Said, I can hardly understand her sometimes. Said, I can't either. I said, well, how can that be? You're both from over there. Well, she's from a different part of London, and they have a very strong accent there, and sometimes I have trouble getting it. And I understand now all of the difference in languages. If I were to go to Buffalo, New York, and say, yous are all welcome this morning, they'd look at me funny. Whereas here, you'd say, thank you. This is great. Understanding the proclamations that are given. In 1917, a missionary in Latin America took what he thought was a Spanish Bible for everybody to read and was shocked when he found out that none of them could understand a word of it. Their dialect was completely different. Estimated that there are over 2,200 languages in the world, and sometimes within those languages there are differences that are hard to understand. So in 1942, out of that experience, Wycliffe Bible Translators was formed, and their job is one of the hardest, to bring the Bible in a language where it has never been translated before. It's an impressive ministry. So we have two people here this morning that are going to share with us their experience about that and what they are hoping to accomplish. Robin and Elizabeth Munn also have Beaver Camp experience. I put this down here. You can move it wherever you'd like, but I thought you might want to be down here to kind of see what's going on. Blessings to you as you share with us this morning. Come on up.
All right, next slide. Prawa prajao song rak log jondai pratan bu rong dio kong pra ong pua tu kon ti chue nai bu nan jamai pina de jami chiwit niran. That's John 3:16 in Thai. So when we hear it, it doesn't mean a whole lot to us. But for 60 million speakers of Thai in the world, those words are proof of God's love for them. When they hear the Bible in Thai, they learn not only that God created the world and that he rules over all creation, they learn that God loves Thai speakers and wants to speak to them personally.
Next slide, please. So that we are Robin and Elizabeth Munn, and we have been living in Thailand for the past 6 years, working with Wycliffe, as Keith there told you, living in the city of Chiang Mai, which you can see part of here. We've been there about 6 years, learning the language, getting to know people, building relationships, just getting to know the area in general. As you just heard, the Thai language has a complete Bible translation. We're lucky enough to have a complete Bible translation in English, more than one, quite a few. But not every language, even within Thailand has that. There are actually 72 languages spoken within the borders of Thailand alone. And many of them do have a Bible translation, but not all. Some have nothing at all. Next slide, please.
So, I'm Elizabeth. I grew up in Lauville here. My parents are the doctors Paisanello. We just had our first baby, Daniel, who's with us today, named after my dad. Robin and I actually met over in Chiang Mai. We were both called by God independently to go over there and serve. And so we met while we were already on the field, and that was really great for us to be able to find someone who was called to the same area that we were, and we could be partners in work as well as in our lives. I'm working with the Eastern Bui language. Eastern Bui is spoken in northern Thailand. This is a picture from one of the villages. I'd like to read you John 3:16 in Eastern Bui, but unfortunately, the Eastern Bui language doesn't yet have any part of the Bible translated. So that's going to be my work. I've just finished my master's thesis, which was a study of the Eastern Bui language, and now I'm working to bring God's word to the Eastern Bui people in their own language.
And I'm Robin. My job, next slide, please. My job is to be a computer programmer, so the linguists use a lot of specialized computer software in their work, software that there's not really a market that would sell millions of copies, so companies like Microsoft aren't going to write this. We have to write it ourselves. So best way to think of it is think of me as a tool maker. The linguists use a lot of specialized tools in their work, and so I'm one of the people who helps make those tools for them. Not just for the project Elizabeth is working on. We design our software so it can be used with pretty much any language in the world. Some present a few more challenges than others. Sign languages, for example, are more difficult.
And next slide, please. So according to the newest survey that's come out, there's actually 7,000 languages spoken around the world, and 2,184 of them have no scripture translated at all in that language. There's many more that only have portions or only have the New Testament. So that's hundreds of millions of people who aren't able to read the Bible in a language that they really understand. When people can read the Bible in their own language, they can really understand God's word for themselves, and they can understand his love in a much deeper way. If they maybe speak a second language a little bit and they try to read the Bible in their second language, sometimes they can understand the words, but the meaning doesn't always come across quite right.
So to give an illustration, next slide please, we have a story from Kenya where there is a language called Tugen that does not yet have a Bible translation in Tugen. However, there's a related language, Kalenjin, that's close enough to Tugen that Tugen people can usually kind of understand it. And so when Tugen Christians want to read the Bible, since Kalenjin has a complete Bible translation, they're able to read it in Kalenjin. This works okay for the most part, but one Tugen pastor explained some of the problems that can happen. He said in Kalenjin and in Tugen, there's some words that sound the same, but they have different meanings. For example, in Kalenjin, there's a word called mayak that means honey. Tugen also has a word mayak, but in Tugen, mayak means alcohol. And so when they read Exodus 3:8, where God promises a land flowing with milk and honey, many Tugen Christians misunderstand, and they think that heaven will be full of milk and alcohol. And the problem is, he said, that many Tugen young people are actually using this verse that they misunderstand to justify living a drunken lifestyle. Next slide.
So there are about 7,000 speakers of Eastern Bui. The vast majority are Buddhist. There are, in fact, about 10 Christians among the Eastern Bui people right now. And many of their Buddhist neighbors have opposed them and ostracized them because of their faith. One of the Christians, in fact, is the daughter of the shaman of one of the villages, and he was not happy about her becoming a Christian. He actually threatened to burn her house down. He never followed through on that, so we're hopeful that she'll be okay. But we're praying that as we continue to work with the Eastern Bui language, that God would open their hearts more and more to hearing His word.
Next slide, please. That is why we're actually, Eastern Bui is a pseudonym. The real name of the language is something else, which we don't publish online. But one of the challenges faced by the Eastern Bui project is that this language does not actually have a written form. It has not been written down before. So they plan to... So in the meantime, what the translation team has done, which, by the way, Elizabeth has just joined. She'll be the third person on the translation team. The two that are there are a couple from New Zealand named Greg and Rosie. They've been there several years. What Greg and Rosie and the Eastern Bui Christians, two of whom you see there, have been doing so far is to have a set of oral Bible stories in a form that can be told verbally. They've gotten about 50 of these, not directly translated word for word from the Bible, but translating the story as a self-contained story that can be told in 2 or 3 minutes. The Eastern Bui Christians will help make sure the story sounds good, flows naturally in that language, has natural sounding language. Once the story is ready, everyone will tell it back and forth to each other until everyone has it memorized. Then they'll record it. They have actually made a smartphone app, and maybe I should let you listen to one of them. This is the story of the Good Samaritan.
That is nghe chùa đi tơ quật lõng áp hông phí xu mà anh phí xu ấy dàng hề à chan à xăm yú dàng màn từ xăm lõng hoặc tâm à lõng phí xu ấy dàng hề lõng tạp bức sàng phá chùa chấp bạ âm hà màn hòn ngập bạ tộc bạ khám phí đó.
That was the first two sentences of the story. I decided not to make you listen to the whole thing. But they have 50 of these stories recorded. I don't know if I said that already. Put into this smartphone app where there's a picture that changes with each sentence as you listen to it. So it's actually quite interesting. And for many of the Eastern Bui people, this is the first time that someone has translated anything into their language. So this gets their attention. And recently, we have found out, because they can also share this app from phone to phone. Many people do have smartphones, even though they're not very rich. And so there have been recently, on the Sunday morning church services, there have been 10 new people showing up from the Eastern Bui language group, in addition to 10 Eastern Bui Christians. So we just found out about this 2 months ago. We were in America. We have not yet met any of these people. We don't know who they are, how much they understand about Jesus. But we're praying that they will, all 10 of them, come to know the Lord and continue to spread God's word. So if you remember just one prayer request today from us, please remember to pray for these 10 Eastern Bui people who have apparently been interested in knowing more about Jesus, so that church may experience 100% church growth. Next slide, please.
So as Robin mentioned, this language has never been written down before. It doesn't have an alphabet yet. So that's got to be our first step in Bible translation. Before we can write anything down, we have to figure out how we're going to write it. So that's been my job. I've been figuring out what kind of a writing system we're going to use for this language. Now, we know that we're going to use the Thai alphabet, because when Eastern Bui people go to school, they live in Thailand, so in school they're taught to read and write Thai. So they're already familiar with that. Most of them are literate in Thai, and that's going to be easiest for them if I use something that they already know a little bit about. The problem is that even though Eastern Bui is located within Thailand, it's completely different from Thai. It's not even in the same language family. For example, Thai is a tonal language. The tone of your voice changes the meaning of the word. If you say ma, it means dog. But if you say ma, it means come here. And if you say ma, it means horse. Eastern Bui doesn't have that. Thai has all of this tonal complications here, and Eastern Bui doesn't have any of that. Then Eastern Bui has all these different sounds that Thai doesn't even have at all. Eastern Bui, the word for a rice plant is hma. There's no way to write hma in Thai. So it's really difficult to make it fit actually into the Thai alphabet. If you talk to any Eastern Bui speaker, they'll tell you, oh, our language can't be written down. It's just impossible to write. There's no way to do it. But we've been trying out different things and different ways that we can adapt the language, this alphabet, to make it fit. And we're really excited to show them that their language can be written down after all.
Next slide, please. So I won't go into too many details of my work. You can see this is the kind of thing I look at all day. Actually, if anyone here is interested in the difference between, say, JavaScript and PHP, if you care about that kind of stuff, we have a table at the back. We'll be standing there afterwards. Please come talk to us. If you are into computers, I'll be happy to talk shop with you. But I'll just give you a brief overview. The past 2 or 3 years, I've been working on a website that we call Language Forge. It's for putting together a dictionary. Now, we already have software for this that was developed by the Wycliffe team in Dallas. The software you install on your computer, it's not a website, but it's for professional linguists. It uses terms like lexeme and morpheme and grapheme. And when I joined Wycliffe, I didn't know the difference between those. I've learned since. But for people who don't know a morpheme from a grapheme, they don't really want to use that software for linguists. So we've developed a website where you can enter word, meaning, part of speech. Maybe an example sentence and translation of that example sentence. And so, but this website can communicate data in both directions with the software that the linguist can install on their computer. That's such a simple sentence. It took me 2 years, it took us 2 years to get it all working. It's working now, the website's in use, and this lets us put together a dictionary of the language, which is a very useful thing to have for language learning. One of the early steps is to put together a dictionary. Much faster, because now, if it's a website, you don't need to install it. You can use it on a smartphone. As I said, most people have smartphones, even if they can't afford a computer, because in Thailand you can get a smartphone for about $90 at the low end. You can get expensive ones too. But so that basically enables us to get the Bible translated faster, because if you have a dictionary, you learn the language faster. All of our software, the design is make the work of Bible translation faster, easier, or to help produce better quality. Hopefully all three of those. Next slide.
So one speaker from a different language group said that trying to read the Bible in a different language was like trying to eat soup with a fork. If you work really hard at it, you can kind of get the flavor, but it was really frustrating. But then when she was finally able to read the Bible in her own language, she said it was finally like eating soup with a spoon. She could get the nourishment that she needed from God's word. So we're praying that the Eastern Bui people will be able to eat soup with a spoon.
Now, since we are taking up the Sunday sermon time, I thought that I did want to spend a few minutes looking at a Bible passage that relates somewhat to translation. If you want to follow along, it's Acts chapter 2. You may already know what that chapter is, you may not. It's the miracle at Pentecost when God sent the Holy Spirit and people immediately began speaking in tongues they didn't know. This got people's attention who had come to Jerusalem from all kinds of different countries, and so they listened intently when Peter preached the sermon, and thousands of them believed. The things I want to point out, though, is if we look at verse 5, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So the text tells us what these people did not live in Jerusalem. The word dwell gets used in the Bible both for permanent dwellings and for temporary dwellings. But it says in the second half of the verse, these people are from every nation under heaven. Every area in the known world at the time, which was mostly centered around the Mediterranean, Jews who were devout had come to Jerusalem Why it come at that time? Because they had come for the Passover, which had been celebrated a few weeks prior. Why were they still in Jerusalem? Well, there were no airplanes at the time. It took quite a while to arrange travel. They had made plans to come on ships or in large groups that would travel together for safety. And it took a while to arrange transportation back to where they came from. So they were still in Jerusalem when they heard this noise of people praising God in their own language. That got their attention and the result of the sermon they believed. But if these were faithful Jews, why weren't they living in Jerusalem in the first place? Why were they scattered all over the world? The answer to that goes back several hundred years, back to when Israel was taken into exile by the Assyrians and Judah was taken into exile by the Babylonians. The nations of Israel and Judah had been turning away from God at the time, and God punished them by taking them out of Jerusalem into exile. If you look in the book of Esther, we don't need to turn there now, but you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar sent letters about the Jews to all 127 provinces of his empire. So they were scattered. They weren't concentrated. And now, hundreds of years later at Pentecost, because their ancestors have been scattered all over the world, there are faithful Jews living in every country of the world. Result, when they hear the gospel, they hear God's word being praised in their own language, that gets them to pay attention. They realize something important. God is doing something here, and so they believe. They stay in Jerusalem a few weeks longer. At the end of chapter 2, you see that people in Jerusalem were selling their possessions and giving bread to those who didn't have it. Why? I believe, the text doesn't say this, but my conclusion is that it's because these travelers from different countries had not planned to stay in Jerusalem these extra several weeks, however long they stayed. I'm sure they were planning to go home eventually, and I'm sure they did go home later, because we know that the gospel did spread all over the world pretty quickly. But the Jews in Jerusalem helped feed them for the extra time they stayed learning, and then they went home. And when they went home, they were carrying the news of the gospel in their own language to their own culture. That's always the most effective missionary possible, the one who's working in their own language, in their own culture. When you hear, share the gospel with your neighbor who doesn't know the Lord, you are being the most effective missionary. We going to Thailand have to learn Thai, but here, God set this up hundreds of years ago at the time when Israel was sent into exile, and now he's reaping the harvest of what he sowed hundreds of years ago. He has made sure the gospel will spread throughout the entire known world at the time, within weeks, in a culture with no airplanes, no internet, no TV, radio, telephones, nothing spread within weeks. It took months for news of anything to get to many places, except here, because God set this up 700 years ago, the gospel spread within weeks all over the world after just weeks after Jesus' death and resurrection. And so God cares about language. He used language to do this. If you look in verse 9 through 11 and you count, there are 15 different regions listed there. We know that Thailand alone has 72 languages, so I think there are more than 15 languages there. But every single one of them, he says, heard it in their own language. That's why we work with Wycliffe. We want the word of God to be heard and read and understood in every language of the world. So thank you very much for inviting us. If you have any questions about our work with Wycliffe, about Thailand, they've set up a table at the back. We have a sign-up sheet if you want to get our emailed prayer updates, which we send out once a month. You know how to pray for us. We also have a couple of things. We have a prayer card. Oh, it's here. We have a prayer card that you can take and put on your fridge. And if you feel like you want to get involved financially in supporting us, then come and take one of these invitation to partnership brochures. But everyone, please take a prayer card. That's the most important thing. And thank you very much for having us. It's really great to be back in Lowville. This is where we were married, at the Lowville Baptist Church.
And your reception was where?
And our reception was here.
Not
at this Mennonite church. Which one was it? It was the, it's in the reception area of one of the Mennonite churches here in Idaho.
I'll tell you what I'm getting at, and they all know this. Where did a lot of your family stay that weekend?
At Beaver Camp.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, thank you very much, Robin and Elizabeth. That was great. That's impressive work. As someone who can barely speak English, I'm amazed at the scholarship involved in linguistics and appreciate your work. And we wish you God's blessing. Please stop at that back table if you would. Elizabeth's book, and it's literally a book, her project for linguistics when she was studying for her Master's of Arts. I was lost just looking at the title, but that is amazing, and God has gifted a lot of people for different things. We all carry different gifts, so we are blessed by that. Would you stand, please, for the benediction? And I think part of what this benediction talks about is exactly what Wycliffe is doing. Go to prepare the way of the Lord, being ready for the unexpected, anticipating the love and grace of God to burst forth into the world. Go in peace.